Well, as I said in Bible class this morning, welcome to December. And it has been a wonderful year, a good year, 2023. We're approaching 2024. We still have another month to go, and so let's not count our chickens before they hatch, right, as the old saying goes. But we are looking forward to the year 2024 and spending time serving the Lord in that year, Lord willing. But we have some business to conclude here at the end of this year. And as we have been doing, with a few exceptions, on the first Sunday of the month, we've been looking at the topic, Joy in Christ. And having studies from the book of Philippians. And so we're going to close out our studies in the book of Philippians this morning. This topic, Joy in Christ. I hope it has been beneficial for you. And as you may already know, all of these lessons are published on our website as well as on our YouTube channel. And if you would like to go back and review some of this series, Joy in Christ, you can certainly do that on our YouTube channel and on our website as well. So this morning, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4 and verses 14 through 20. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 20, as we think about the joy of giving. And the theme verse has been Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And as we think about giving this morning, we are in the season of giving, as it is called by those in our culture. And it is, of course, a time for giving gifts to others, a time of giving in general. This past Tuesday, I believe it was called Giving Tuesday. And it was something that has been practiced recently in trying to raise money for good causes. And that is certainly something that we can think about doing as members of our culture, members of our society. But we also need to think about our giving in relationship to God and having that giving spirit and being of a generous mindset and taking opportunities that we have to give. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Philippians 4 and verses 14 through 20. And we're going to read through this text, and then we're going to look at it and think about different aspects of giving that the Apostle highlights in these verses. He says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now Paul is discussing the gift here that the church at Philippi sent to him by the hands of Epaphroditus, who was one of the ministers of the word there in Philippi. And the occasion upon which Paul writes this letter to the church in Philippi is that he has received this gift, this money that the church in Philippi sent to him, and he wants to take time to write a thank you letter. And that's what the book of Philippians is. It's a big thank you letter. And I know it has a lot of information in it, but in essence, that's what the Apostle Paul is doing, is saying to the church at Philippi, thank you so much. And so in looking at these closing words of the book, he's talking about this gift, this giving that they have done. And he commends them for this gift. Now remember, the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome, and he had some challenges that impacted his daily necessities. And he was dependent in a lot of ways upon the church for supplying those needs. And the church at Philippi wanted to help him, and they did. They saw a good work that Paul was doing there. They wanted to support that work, and they sent money to him to support that good work that he was doing. And so this morning, let's think about the joy of giving, or joy in giving. We're going to look at four things from this text that we see when we give. First of all, when we give, we do well. Second, when we give, we produce fruit. Third, we please God. And finally, we show or demonstrate faith in God. And as we go through the text, I think you will see these points here in the text as we read through Philippians chapter 4 and verses 14 through 20. First of all, verse 14, Paul says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." You shared. They shared by giving to the apostle when he was in distress, when he was in this difficult situation of being imprisoned. And they did well in sending that gift. You know, when we give, we do well because of the gift itself. And there are good things that happen because of our giving. It's good for the recipient. It's good for the giver. And the act of giving itself is good. All of those things take place. Now, giving is certainly good for the recipient. You know, think about the giving that Jesus did in his life in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He gave of himself, and he did good in giving of himself. In Romans 15, in verses 25 and 26, Paul wrote, "But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem." This was a good thing that they did. They did well in giving this money to help the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. And so giving does good for the recipient, but it also does good for the giver. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul said, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." In doing good and giving, we shall reap one day. There will be consequences to the good that we do when we give. And so let's not grow weary in that, but let's keep up the good work. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul quotes Jesus when he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And the blessing is for the giver here, that the one who is giving is blessed. And so it does good for the giver. And the act of giving is in and of itself a good thing. You know, sometimes we scrutinize those who are asking for things, and there may be some appropriate place to do that. as we have limited resources, but we should never question ourselves as to whether we're doing good when we give with an honest and pure and sincere heart to something that is good. Now, we shouldn't contribute to evil. That's not what I'm talking about. We shouldn't give something to a cause that we know is wrong or is sinful or something like that. We should not do that. But if what the person is asking for is good, and what we're doing is then good, and as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10. And so the act of giving itself is a good thing, and it doesn't depend on what the person does with it. Now, they may lie, they may cheat, they may say something that is wrong and deceive us. That is on them, not on us, when we give. If we're giving to a good, what we think is good, and we're doing good, then it is good. And so, if we have opportunity, let's do good. Hebrews 13, verse 6 says, "Do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." God is pleased. And we'll talk about that point in a little bit when we give. He wants us to give and to do good. And so giving itself is a good thing, regardless of what someone else does with the gift. And we need to understand that. Because I think sometimes we may limit ourselves in that area by not giving when we could give and help someone, even though we have reservations. We could still do good. We are still doing good when we give. And so when we give, we do well. That's the first point. And this brings us joy. We should be joyful about giving. We should be joyful about helping others. We should be joyful when we reach out and support those around us who are in need. Jesus was joyful. Do you think Jesus walked up to someone that he was about to help to heal and then stood there and said, "Now, I just don't know if I should heal you or not"? Well, you know he didn't have that attitude. He did good. He healed. He went about doing good. Yes, we need to follow the example of Jesus in this area. Secondly, when we give, we produce fruit. Giving produces fruit. Now look at what Paul says here in verses 15 through 17. He says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Paul was not a greedy person. He wasn't a covetous person. He didn't desire money for money's sake. That's not what he was interested in. What was he interested in? The idea that when they gave, they would be participating in the work that he was doing. They produced fruit through their giving. And that's what Paul says that he sought from them. "I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." So the church at Philippi, they gave to Paul when he went to Thessalonica and preached the gospel there. And the fruit from that effort then was the result of the giving that the church in Philippi did. And they got to share in that labor. They got to share in that fruit. And when we give, we also share in the results of the work that the giving accomplishes. We have people come by from time to time and present on different works, mission works that are being done, and sometimes we take up contributions and give to those works. And from those works, we see the results, the fruit. That fruit is, at least in part, the result of our giving. And we participate in those good works when we give. And that's what Paul is talking about here. The churches of Macedonia certainly knew this. They wanted to give. They wanted to participate in good works. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 and 4 says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Is that the attitude that we have toward giving? Do we see the urgency? Do we see the need? Do we respond being willing to share that which we have with others when we give? You know, I'm afraid that sometimes we act more like someone who doesn't want to let go of something when we give. And we are that grudging giver that Paul says we should not be like. When we give, our giving should be free, and we should desire to give, imploring that we can give. That's how in fact, if you read between the lines here, it's almost as the Apostle Paul was saying, y'all are poor. You don't need to give. And the churches of Macedonia said, no, we want to give. Doesn't matter that we're poor. We still want to give. Is that our attitude when we give? It needs to be. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, the Apostle Paul talks about this fruit that we receive when we give. He says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." And the giving that we do, you see, God can take that and he can make something of it that we can't make of it. And he can produce fruit that we would never even think would be possible. And so when we give, we produce fruit and we share in the work that we contribute to. Think about these verses here. Philippians 1 verse 7, Paul says, "Inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace." When they gave, they partook of the work that he did by their giving. Their work, or his work, was their work. And their work was his work because they gave. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Think about that. The more you give, the more you reap. And we should be wanting to reap more. And that means we should be wanting to give more. The less we give, the less we reap. Think about that. 2 John 1, 10 through 11 makes this point in kind of the negative way. "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." That is, when we give to good things, we share in the good things. But when we give to evil things, we share in the evil things as well. Why would we not give to something? And just fill in the blank, whatever it is you can think of that you would not give to. You wouldn't give to that because you would participate in that evil that is going on. And so we need to be only giving to what is good and participating in good and producing that good fruit that comes from participating in good works through our giving. And so when we give, we produce fruit. And that should bring us great joy, knowing that there is a harvest out there that's being reaped because of the giving that we do. When we give, we please God. Giving pleases God. Look at Philippians 4 and verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. We please God when we give. Now, Paul says that he received this gift from Epaphroditus. He was the messenger, so to speak, who brought it to Paul. And Paul called this gift a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. This is the language of sacrifice that's used in the Old Testament. Those sacrifices were often described as having a sweet-smelling aroma. You can look in places like Genesis 8:21, Exodus 29:18, and Leviticus 3:5, and there's so many of them that talk about the sacrifices being a sweet-smelling aroma. And so that means that this gift that they sent to Paul was a sacrifice on their part, a spiritual sacrifice that they were giving. God also commanded acceptable sacrifices. The sacrifices had to be acceptable in the sense that it had to be from the right animals, they had to have the right body parts. They had to look in a certain way. They had to be acceptable. And our sacrifices need to be acceptable to God. And the acceptability of our sacrifice comes from the attitude that we have when we give. If we give with the right attitude, God will accept that. If we give the wrong attitude, you know what? God is not going to accept that. And so we need to have the right attitude when we give. Think about Colossians 1 and verse 10. Can we please God? Yes, of course we can please God. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We can please God through doing the things that God wants us to do. We can please Him. The Bible teaches that. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. And John writes in 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And so yes, we can please God by giving. There's some out there in the religious world who say you can't please God through anything that you do. That is false doctrine. You can please God by giving. You can please God by walking as He walked. You can please God by keeping His commandments. Yes, you can please God. And by their giving, they pleased God. It was a sacrifice that pleased God. And we need to please God when it comes to living the Christian life. God loves sacrificial giving. In Mark chapter 12 and verses 43 through 44, we see the example of the widow's mite here. Jesus called His disciples to Himself and said to them, "Surely I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." God loves sacrificial giving. He wants us to give sacrificially. Think about those two mites And you can see a picture of them there on the screen. Just little tiny coins, you know, no bigger than your thumbnail on your pinky. Worth almost nothing. As man values things. But as God valued that gift, it was worth more than everything else that everyone was putting in. Because he loves sacrificial giving. Think about the example of the Macedonians. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. You see, there's the heart of it right there. You've got to give yourself to the Lord first if you want your giving to be pleasing to God. If you want it to be sacrificial giving, you've got to give yourself to God first. And you see, that's what holds us back. We're not giving ourselves to God like we should. And so we don't give like we should. But when we give ourselves to God, we are going to give like God wants us to give. God loves sacrificial giving. And God loves intentional and cheerful giving. 2 Corinthians 8, 8 through 9, Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus gave, and we need to give. And so, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. And on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And so we are to give cheerfully, intentionally, with purpose, setting something aside every first day of the week, giving as we have been prospered. If we've been prospered, then we need to give. God expects it of us, and he wants us to give. And we need to give with a good attitude and with a right attitude, understanding that we're going to do his work. And finally, giving shows faith. When we give, we demonstrate faith in God. Because we're giving something to God, we're putting it in his hands. And we're saying, God, I trust you to take this and to make something of it. We're saying, you know, I can't do it alone. I can't use the resources that I have to accomplish what God can accomplish. And so I'm going to give those resources to God so that he can do more with it than I can. Paul put it like this in Philippians 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God will supply all of our needs? You know, I think that's sometimes one of the reasons why we don't give like we should. Because we think, I've got to take care of my needs. And so we don't give. And do we really know what our needs are? Do we really? But you see, God knows our needs. And he will supply our needs. And so we should give with that in mind, knowing that God will supply. He will take care of us. And if we give to him, that means we're putting our faith and trust in him. not in ourselves. You know, God provided for Paul through the church at Philippi, and God would provide for the church at Philippi also. And when we're faithful to Him, He doesn't ignore that. He doesn't push that aside. He sees our faithfulness. And He will take care of us accordingly. Now, God doesn't give us everything that we want. And there's so many more things that we want than what we truly need. He doesn't promise to supply us everything that we want, only what we need. But He will give us what we need, and so we should give to Him. Of course, God is the greatest giver. You can't outgive God. He has everything in His hands. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. And God wants to give good things to His children. Matthew 7 verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? God gives us good things. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, James 1:17. God gives good things. He's the greatest giver. And because He's the greatest giver, we need to imitate Him. That's a commandment in the Bible. Be imitators of God, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Will we trust God to supply all of our needs? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6 and verse 33. And Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's giving. That's giving. We've got to seek the kingdom of God first. We've got to be living sacrifices. And we've got to have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's giving. That's God giving when we give. And God will give to us when we give to Him. Now there's great joy in giving if we will give in the way that God wants us to give. But as we've seen here in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 14 through 20, there's great joy in giving. Because when we give, we do well. Giving itself is a good thing if we're giving to a good work. When we give, we produce fruit. The giving that we give ends up working good and doing good things and producing fruit in God's scheme of things. There's great joy in giving because when we give, we please God, and we can please God with our giving. When we give with the right attitude, with the right heart, the right spirit, and when we give, there's great joy in giving because we show faith in God. We demonstrate belief in God, and that means that we trust someone outside of ourselves and not just ourselves, and that brings joy. Because we know there's something bigger than us in the universe and in reality. And that is God, and He can do so much more than we can. So how's your giving? Let's think about this example of giving that we see here in Philippians 4. Let's apply it to our lives and let's ask ourselves, can we give more in this coming year, 2024? We've got a lot of good works that are being done. And pretty soon our elders are going to put together a budget, and they're going to then put together a plan of work for the year 2024. And they're going to present that to the congregation and say, these are the good works that we're doing here. And you can participate in those works. To a great degree or to a small degree. Which one will we choose? You know, God gave everything that He had for us. Jesus went to the cross. He laid down His life. He gave His all so that we might have salvation. When He died on that cross, He said, "It is finished." The work that God gave Him to do, Him specifically, was finished. And then He bought salvation for all of mankind. God saw the inherent injustice in Jesus' death on the cross and raised Him from the dead. Jesus came back and He told the apostles, "We've got a mission to accomplish. We've got to take this message to the whole world." Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." And that's the work Jesus wants us to do. And we do that work patiently, steadfastly, peacefully. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those who make peace, James tells us. And so it's a patient work. It's like the farmer bringing forth the crops. It doesn't happen overnight, but we keep working at it. But that farmer, he's got to give every day. He's got to give something every day. What will we give? The first thing we need to give is ourselves. Like Paul said, the church in Macedonia did. They gave of themselves first. Would you give of yourself? Would you give yourself to Christ as He gave His life for you? Through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sin, that's step number one of giving. Give yourself. And then turn all your resources, your time, your possessions, your abilities, everything you have, to furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's giving. Would you respond to the Lord's invitation today to become a child of God? He gave everything. Let's give to Him. While together we stand and while we sing.